Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit. We'll get into some of the conversation we've had already on the show with him as it relates to Brian Callahan and the offense. We'll get into all things Titans with him as they prepare to take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers later this week, both in the joint practices and in the first preseason game coming up on Saturday. So we'll get Corey's thoughts on all that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Joe, some big news over the weekend in the National Football League. Micah Parsons and the Dallas Cowboys have been unable to come to an agreement for a contract extension down there in Dallas. It's been very public. It's been at times very contentious, and finally, Micah Parsons releases a long statement over the weekend, basically talking about how much he wanted to be in Dallas, and now that he no longer wants to be in Dallas, and has officially put a trade request out there. Now, as Jerry Jones is wont to do, he has commented on it since then. He talks a lot. He's in front of the camera a lot, which is kind of like, you know, we talk about Amy Adams Strunk never talking. Maybe Jerry Jones takes it too far to the extreme the other way.
Yeah.
But Jerry Jones talking says, quote, "I'd say to our fans, don't lose any sleep over this." He sounds like he thinks that this is just part of the negotiation. Doesn't sound like he's got much interest in actually trading Micah Parsons at this point. But they've not been able to come to an agreement, Joe. It has deteriorated to the point where Micah Parsons has taken it public and that he does not. He put it out there. He does not want to be back in Dallas. There's been some hurt feelings. And it's two different sides of the story that have come out in terms of what exactly has been promised, what exactly has been agreed to, and the process in which they've gotten about getting to this point. So when you start airing out all that in the media, not really a great thing. So number one, what do you make of the Micah Parsons situation in Dallas? And number two, now that he has officially asked for a trade, obviously, there are going to be a lot of teams around the league checking in on that, should the Titans be one of those teams, based on what you would think the compensation would be to go get a player like that.
Everybody should be one of those teams.
I totally agree.
Everybody should be one of those teams. So, absolutely. If you're a team that's like, "Yeah, we're good. This is not some of the other stuff we've been talking about, you know, Terry McLaurin about to turn 30. No, this is a this is a guy in his prime who is a game-changing player. I mean, there's no question about it. So, of course, yeah, be one of the other 31 teams who's at least inquiring about it. I can't believe that anybody wouldn't. Also, I still think that they're going to work this out. Like, I don't think he's going to be traded. I think that they're going – because for all of the bluster – and all the just the dumb way that they handle these things. I mean, we've had drama with CeeDee Lamb. There was drama, you know, with go back to Dez Bryant. Like, these things happen. The Cowboys seem to love it. Jerry seems to love it somehow. It's like, I guess all publicity is good publicity. I mean, the Micah Parsons, by the way, but, you know, congratulations or sorry that it happened to you. I ain't reading
that. That's a long
that.
One. My long God. Statement.
But it's all this weird stuff with, you know, what. We were fine, and now they won't even talk to the agent. Yep. And I don't know. I mean, I've heard Stephen Jones on some Dallas radio, and it's like, I'd actually rather listen to Jerry. At least I understand what he's saying. I don't know what the heck Stephen Jones is talking about with some of his stuff. I mean, it's amazing that they actually function as a franchise. They're really good at finding, like, great players.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I know Dak's not great, but, like, they find great players and then go through hell with them. Like, Micah Parsons should be the most slam dunk, obvious, easy, get it done early yeah. thing that you ever need to have in the NFL, and here we are.
Well, one thing we've talked about with the Cowboys is it feels like they always wait too long to start these negotiations, right? Like, they
early is good for the
gotten,
team.
If you could have gotten in there earlier with Dak, he wouldn't be costing you $60 million a year, but instead right. you waited, and now he is. Same thing with Parsons. Like, you could have gotten in there earlier, and then you didn't. I in my heart of hearts, I think I'm with you. I think that they'll eventually probably get this figured out. But look, I do think there are some situations in sports where sometimes you go too far when you're negotiating with somebody and you just totally destroy the relationship.
Yeah.
And they just don't want to come back to the table with you. Like, Micah Parsons has to know that he's going to get a deal somewhere, whether it's in Dallas or somewhere else. Somebody's going to give him what he's looking for, at least close to it. So, like, you know, I'm with you. I think if I had to sit here today and choose an outcome of what I thought was most likely, it would probably be that they eventually come to a deal down there in Dallas. But you never know, man. Like, sometimes you reach a point in these negotiations where the player's like, you know what, screw you. I don't want to come back to the negotiating table, and I'm out of here. So we'll see what happens then.
Yeah, and, you know, look, I mean, to be fair on this with the Cowboys, some of the reporting around it is that they thought they had it figured out in May. And then he's like, but at the same time, if you're the Cowboys, like, you have to understand. Okay, so you think you have it figured out with the player. And the player's like, yeah, but just talk to my agent. That's how Parsons described it. Okay, can you just talk to my agent, and we'll nail it down. You know, it's like, here, let's have this notarized, you know? And then it becomes this big thing. So you go back to the A.J. Brown thing here. My understanding, you know, is that at one point the Titans thought they had it figured out. And then it's like, oh, wait, actually, no, which is very annoying. But the thing is, in this league, that if you have great players, you need to get things done. So, again, I think the Cowboys will, unless – you're right, and Parsons really is like, I understand he's requesting a trade. This happens a lot, and then the player goes back to the team. If he's actually the point like, I actually can't do this. I can't be here with these people anymore. Well, okay then. Then the compensation for him, boy, will that be interesting.
Well, and you bring that up. So there's, you know, the Athletic has put this piece together about, you know, which teams, if Parsons ends up actually being available via trade, would make the most sense. And we'll get a little bit more into that coming up here in just a few minutes. But the compensation would be interesting here. Like, I'll throw out one of the examples they have. Like, they put the Packers in here, and it would be a first-round pick in 2026, a first-round pick in 2027, and Romeo Doubs. So you're talking about two first-round picks and a starting good, not great, but starting good wide receiver is the compensation that they put there. So if you're the Titans, like, you know, are you comfortable giving up two first-round picks and then whatever the additional, like, player price would be, whether
that's first-round picks and Jeff Simmons?
And Jeff Simmons. Like, would you do that? If now, look, you're also getting a 26-year-old elite edge-rushing player that you can try to go draft if you want to, but Micah Parsons don't grow on trees.
Like, I saw a stat. Number one overall in any year, basically.
Yeah, like, I saw a stat where, I think it's him and Reggie White are the two players in NFL history that have had – at least 12 sacks in all four of their first years, right? So, like, pretty good company to be in there. So, Micah Parsons is, like, that's the play. That's the type of guy that I ain't really got much of a problem giving up a couple first-round picks for, right? Like, think about the Khalil Mack trade a few years ago. That's a hefty price that was paid to go get him. He's a guy that was worth it.
Yeah, what was that price? You remember exactly what that was?
I mean, it was a lot. Three first-round picks, wasn't it?
Three first. Yeah, I think multiple firsts is definitely a possibility, and you could also get into like multiple firsts, a second,
there's two first-round picks, a third, and a sixth.
I was gonna say,
and a second. So like all that together, probably equivalent to three, but actually two first-round picks, a third-round pick in 2018, a sixth-round pick, and also a second-round pick
in 2019.
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, so two firsts, second, third. I mean, yeah, it could be something like that, like just a haul of picks. And yeah, I can see someone saying, my gosh, if there was ever a team that needed picks, it'd be the Tennessee Titans. But again, like this is, I mean, getting a player like this, a player of this level, and you don't need to worry about what your window is or that you're rebuilding. Like, this is a guy who should be great for the next few years. There's no indication, you know, he's been durable. I mean, all that stuff. Like, he's worth it. He's going to get, if they were to trade him, he would get that. He would get a huge, huge haul.
Yeah, so, for sure. So, again, we'll see. It's, you know, maybe a situation where it's very public right now, and then by the time week one rolls around, they've come to some sort of agreement here. But as you pointed out, a lengthy, very lengthy statement that Micah Parsons put out over the weekend, and obviously some hurt feelings here. So we'll see what happens on that front. We'll take your thoughts on that. Should the Titans pursue Micah Parsons if he's available? What teams would make the most sense from the Micah Parsons standpoint to sign a long-term extension with? We'll get your thoughts on all that. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. I got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to see Live and Collective Soul at First Bank Amphitheater coming up this Sunday. You can find Rex Road in the front row. Call number 5-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. You'll see Live and Collective Soul at First Bank Amphitheater coming up this Sunday.
Oh, they're playing with each other?
That's what it says. So you will be there.
Cool.
I mean, we'll see. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. I mean,
probably
I feel
not.
Like Rex Road has been to enough concerts where you just offer him tickets, he'll go. No matter who it is.
Typically, that's about right.
It's right before football season anyway. So, got to get him in while you can.
All right. Even during football season, he's good enough.
He's like, doesn't stop me. I'll go. Whatever. Yeah. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Michael in Madison says, I would Mike Ditka my next draft for Micah Parsons. Don't care.
Easy.
Lenny says, absolutely do not take Parsons. One great player will not make our team good. We need a lot of players. If they take Parsons and trade all those picks, we're going to suck for a long, long time. This is from Lenny on the text line.
Well, again.
Pass rush would be a lot better.
Like, I'm not, yeah. I'm not saying give all the picks. So, right. If you give all the picks, I would agree with you. A couple first-rounders and then a couple more, or maybe a particular player that they like. Again, what veterans do the Titans have to offer that people – like would be interested in, I mean, what youngish players, like maybe someone would be like, yeah, actually, we like Devondre Sweat, bring him back to Texas, he's got high upside, or, I mean, there's just again, it's slim pickings on that, but I don't know, man, if you make good choices, if this last draft class turns out to be good, is Oladejo trying to be a good player, et cetera, et cetera. Ia Manor, I think there's some, even with the offensive struggle, there's some optimism there. Then, and you keep draft, use your other picks well.
Yeah.
You have a great player. This is a guy who wrecks games. I mean, one guy on a defense who can wreck a game. That is hard to find.
Yeah. I mean, he's, the Titans are in need of a lot of players. We all understand that. They've got a lot of positions of need right now that they've got to fill. You know what they're also in big-time need of? Great players. As many of them as possible, for sure. But get me some really, really good ones, I'll take that, right? Like, if Cam Ward ends up being a great player, that makes up for a lot. Micah Parsons on that side of the ball would make up for a lot. Like, he's a great player.
Yeah.
And, it doesn't mean that, you're going to turn into 85 Bears on defense if you get him. But he's a guy that you can't really game plan for. Like, he just wrecks it. And that's what he's done his entire career to this point.
Harold Landry was a good player, and they got Bud Dupree. Bud Dupree was never, anything close to this. He had a great season in Pittsburgh when they got him. I mean, you're going back to, obviously, the Vanden Bosch was, he was a force, right?
Yep.
And that defense with Haynes. But still, this guy is.
They've never had a guy like this.
Yeah. This guy is. And you could go back to the Freak and what he was. He was great.
Yeah.
No question. But this is still another level above that.
Again.
And it just changes the math.
But to your point, everybody's going to be interested. Like, if it gets to the point where he actually is going to be dealt, everybody's going to be interested. So the competition is going to be high. What you're willing and able to offer, what's that going to look like? There's a lot. I mean, The Athletic has come out with a piece, listing three places that make a lot of sense to try this. I mentioned one of them being Green Bay. The other two they've got on this list is Chicago and the New York Jets. I mean, I feel like the Jets are involved in all these discussions all the time. It's like, where would be a good landing spot for them? Well, the Jets. Put the Jets in there. But the Bears, the Packers, and the Jets are the three that kind of jump out on this piece right here of potential interest and a good landing spot for Micah Parsons, but you're going to see just about every team, I would imagine, making a call on Micah Parsons if it gets to the point where they're actually serious about shopping him around.
Yeah, if you're a GM in this league, you got a lot of stuff going on right now. You grinding some film, looking at some guys around the league and all that stuff, making your calls. I mean, it would be fireable to me if one of the things you aren't doing today is checking this out, and it seems like at least what we're hearing is the Cowboys right now are telling people, we're not trading them. It's not going to happen. but you need to make a call on your end and say, just in case you were, how does this strike you?
Right.
Right?
Donovan and Franklin says, if this team is good, then it's a no-brainer to get Parsons, but this team is too awful to trade multiple first-rounders.
He makes your team good.
Yeah, he helps. I mean, it would be one thing if he was 30, right, or 31. But, I mean, you're talking about a guy that has been incredibly productive to this point in his career. He's 26 years old. He just turned 26 a month and a half ago. I mean, theoretically, barring something that we cannot sit here and foresee today, he's got a lot of high-level football left in him.
Yeah, you can safely expect, I think, 5 years of tremendous production. And in the NFL, that's a cycle. Like, you should absolutely be able to, if you're doing your job well, you can go from the absolute worst team to the absolute best team in that amount of time, and then less.
Well, again, you're talking about a guy that last year finished with his lowest sack total number of his career, which was 12. He did it in 13 games. He had 12 sacks in 13 games last year. For the most part, he has been healthy and has certainly been very productive out there. And if you watch him play, Joe, like, it goes, yes, the sack total is impressive, but it goes beyond the sack total with him.
You have to, the offense has to completely devote half of its resources to dealing with him. I mean, I understand the idea of multiple first rounders. This team needs, so go back through the history of the franchise. We've been doing that lately. Go back, go find me 2 first round picks that the Titans have made that add up to what he is. You know, you could go back to like Eddie and Steve.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, and I understand, okay, you could go throughout the entire league and find that, but you're not going to hit at that level. No one does consistently. So, like, 2 first-round picks, yeah, he is worth that and more.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the draft compensation. I really don't. Like, I understand this team is in a spot where, you know, and Chad Brinker and Borgonzi have talked about this, of draft, develop, retain, and they want, you know, a billion top 100 picks over the next few years. I get it. But I would imagine, without having spoken to either one of those guys, that they'd be okay giving up a couple first-round picks for Micah Parsons.
Right.
That'd be my guess.
Yeah, it's one of those very rare situations. Guys like that don't get away from their first team. They just don't. And, again, I don't think he will. But if he actually, like, irreconcilable differences, then – you know, then it's just a rare, rare opportunity. Texter says, if you make that trade, you're crippling your chance to build around your QB. If we had a young stud wide receiver, sure. Well, again, I'm not saying trade every pick. If you trade 2 firsts and maybe 1 second and 27 or whatever, okay, then you still have a second-round pick this year and a third-round pick. You know, you're still going to be drafting players, and you can absolutely get the Titans' best drafted wide receivers were in the second and fifth. What would D-May? Fourth or fifth?
Fourth, yeah.
Okay. Fourth rounder D-May, second A.J. Brown, second rounder. You can get guys.
One texter says, as a Cowboys fan, if Jerry fumbles this, I might actually implode.
Don't do that.
I might actually.
Don't do that. That sounds implode. Painful. We don't want that.
Jerry seems to think it's not a big deal. He seems to, I mean, he got up in front of the media and was just like, yeah, don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you guys today if I didn't think we were going to get something figured out, Micah.
Yeah. The thing is, it's so – he grates on everybody. It's so, at this point, it's so beyond fatigue with Jerry Jones and all their stuff. But I also think he's right. Like, I think he's doing that because they're going to work it out. You can't not work it out with him if you're the Dallas Cowboys. As little as I believe they, like – could, like, make a run this year. And I guess that's – if you want to make an argument against Micah Parsons, it's like, well, he is this great player, and yet does anybody think Dallas can go to the Super Bowl? They have other great players too. Why not? So, I mean, that's a fair thing to bring up. I just would – a player like that, it can do a lot. If you took him off them, I think that we'd be talking about probably – like a rebuilding disaster type situation. Yeah. Like, that's how much of a difference he makes.
Well, and, you know, I think Jerry likes some of this. You know, we mentioned their negotiating tactics and how they just seem to wait forever with some of their guys that they signed to deals. Like, I think he likes some of the attention that this stuff does and gets for him.
Of course he does.
Which, if you're a fan, I mean, I guess it keeps you talking about him all the time, but would drive me nuts if I was a Cowboys fan. It's like, just get the deal done, buddy. Just get it done with our great players.
Yeah. Taylor says, I don't want him. Four of the top five edge players played for non-playoff teams. They rarely play for Super Bowl teams anymore. Yeah, that feels like a real incidental set type thing. I don't think there's any causation there, Taylor. Like, for example, Myles Garrett in the bleep show of Cleveland. I don't even know off the top of my head who all he'd be talking about. I think we can go back and we can find some pass rush that's pretty important for some teams that want it all. I think of whether it's the Rams. Okay, it wasn't an edge player, but like, did Aaron Donald, who was an ultimate game record, how much did that matter?
Yeah.
How much of the Tampa Bay Bucks and what they did with their front and their pass rush and their dominance up there, how much of that matter?
Yeah, according to you, they like carried an old, limp, dead Tom Brady to a Super Bowl.
No, I didn't say that. But I mean, some people are like, oh my God, he completed every pass. Good thing they had him. The rest of their team sucks. No. The Kansas City Chiefs couldn't block them if they had nine linemen that night. I think this is a coincidental stat that means nothing.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Is there concern mounting for another veteran player in the NFL? Plus, another somewhat local team that I can tell you there's some concern mounting. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Is our phone number. We will have the Rob Rant coming up at 7:45. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Joe, is there concern in your mind mounting for Matthew Stafford, who at this point has not been available in training camp? He's had limited availability throughout the offseason. He's dealing with a back injury, and according to reports, it kind of felt like he was expected to be back relatively early in camp, and now he's not, and I believe Sean McVay said week to week yesterday. So in what was once thought to be something that maybe he gets back from pretty early, looks like has now turned into week to week. The Rams have a joint practice, I believe, tomorrow with the Cowboys. And then they've got joint practices with the Chargers.
He's sitting out, I believe.
And he is not going to be in either one of those. So that's not good. You know, we've talked about Stafford and the injuries that he's had. Some have come to the shoulder. This is a back that you're talking about here. And apparently he's going to see some back specialists. You're talking about a guy that, number one, when he's been healthy in Los Angeles, has been really good. But he's 37 years old. A team that I think, if he is healthy, has a chance to be pretty darn good this year. Like, they were right there with Philadelphia in the playoffs last year. And now they've, you know, Cooper Kupp's out, but they brought in Devontae Adams. They've got a pretty good defense. Sean McVay's a great coach. So a team that's going to be on the short list of Super Bowl contenders in the NFC if he's healthy. The question is he going to be healthy? What do you make of the Matthew Stafford situation?
Yeah, it's not great. You know, 37, that number has kind of changed in the way we think about it with some the longevity of some of these guys, certainly Brady foremost among them. Aaron Rodgers looking good apparently out there with the Steelers. And, you know, obviously still has a lot of talent. I mean, 37 years old and he's taken a lot of beatings. I mean, look, some of those years in Detroit early in his career, boy, did he get hit a lot. And got through it, by the way, and was a great player because that's what he is, but that's not great because I'm with you. I think that they are a sneaky contender in the NFC with a full go Stafford for a full season, but a back at that age and a back where, you know, like they're calling it back soreness, but if you're going to see these people and you're week to week and all this, and I mean, this is not the plan. If this was something that they could have done earlier, they would have. They would have figured it out. Obviously, something here has happened. And if you're a Rams fan, you got to be worried about that. 37 years old with a back.
Sciatica.
Playing this sport has a lot of things that you don't like that are all together.
Well, and he's been dealing with some injuries the last few years, right? Like, you know, obviously, when he was healthy and they put it all together and went and won the Super Bowl out there, that is totally changed probably. I mean, maybe he would have been a Hall of Famer without it, with all the numbers that he's compiled. But, I mean, I think Stafford is going to be a Hall of Famer. Like, I think he's getting in the Hall of Fame when his career is over. But you're talking about even, you know, a guy last year that played 16 games, some of which he played through injury, but, you know, 3,700 yards, 20 touchdowns, 8 picks. But over the last few years, he missed a couple games in 2023. He only played 9 games in 2022. So the injuries have started to kind of creep up on him the last few years here. And
yeah.
Is that going to get better as he gets older?
Yeah, which again, like they've – like talk about a team, you know, you look at where they were, that where they're trending, and then – And Aaron Donald's out. And then you do what they did in the draft on the defensive side of the ball. And offensive side of the ball, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, they've just been incredible at drafting players. And so, boom, they're right back in the mix of you get some difference-making players, which I guess someone might be, see, that's why you keep your picks. I hear you. But if there's a great player on the other side, great, great player. I mean, I got Roberts trying to argue that Javon Curse is a better player than Michael Parsons. I know that everybody loves Javon Curse. He was incredible as a rookie. He was a very good player here. He's a great player that year. Javon Curse is not Micah Parsons, guys. No. Like, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. Someone asked him about Stetson Bennett's season. Mm-hmm. I think it would actually be Jimmy G.
Jimmy
right?
G and Stetson Bennett are the next two guys out there. So.
Do you know the fourth guy?
I don't. Who is the fourth guy?
I'll give you $1 million.
Will you?
Yeah. I will find a way to get $1 million.
I mean, I have no idea. Case Keenum? I'm just taking a guess.
Dresser Win.
Yeah, you could have offered me every name in the world, and I wouldn't have gotten to that.
Dresser Win with two N's.
Who's that?
I don't know. It's a cool name, though. Dresser Win.
That can't be a real person. I mean, not only can it – look, I want you to do this right now. This is a nice exercise. I want you to just Google Dresser Win right now. Because okay. You know what? No, I just did it, and it flashes up an ESPN link to it, and the face on it is Jimmy G. It's not even Dresser Win. It's just Jimmy Garoppolo.
Oh, by the way, according to Wikipedia, he's from Dresden, Tennessee.
There you go. UT Martin.
Dresser Win, UT Martin.
There you go. Good to know.
UT Martin fans out here. My goodness.
Dresser! We think he's got a shot to win the job.
We're a sports show in the state of Tennessee. We didn't know about UT Martin's own Dresser Win from Dresden, Tennessee.
Do we think he's got a chance to win the job over Jimmy G and Stetson Bennett if Stafford can't go?
Not without knowing much about Dresser Win? I mean, maybe.
Maybe so.
He's done a little Memphis Showboats work here. He's done a little Edmonton Elks work here. So
good to know.
Yeah, a little UFL, a little CFL.
You won't find anybody pulling for Dresser Win harder than I will now.
This show is now officially a Dresser Win supporting show.
Absolutely. No doubt.
100%.
Tennessee in fall camp. Well, what
hold
we got?
On. Keith just says his cousin is Chester Drawers. Well done,
very
Keith.
Nice. Very nicely done. Tennessee in fall camp and already running into some receiver issues, Joe. Adam Sparks putting this out there yesterday. Mike Matthews was at practice yesterday, but he was not going through the drills. Chris Brazel is limited in fall camp due to injury, which means they had 5 healthy scholarship wide receivers out there yesterday, Joe. And as Sparks points out, 4 of those 5 have never played a snap in college football. So what do you make of the current state of the Tennessee football wide receiver room, and now they've already apparently run into some injury trouble in camp?
That's pretty bad. You're trying to find a quarterback. You're trying to, while find a quarterback, you're trying to build chemistry with certainly your top two, slash maybe all the quarterbacks with the key receivers. We know they don't have many key receivers. We know they don't have many viable options, and now 2 of the most important viable options, the most important, are missing time. So it doesn't sound like it's anything big time to worry about, but these practice days are critical for that offense. Like Syracuse, you know, Syracuse is, I mean, it's Tennessee, I think, should handle Syracuse, but Syracuse is good enough that, like, if you're a bleep show, you could lose to Syracuse.
No doubt.
That's a losable game if you're a total mess. By the way, speaking of the Vols and receivers, have you seen who one of the camp superstars so far in the NFL is?
No.
Dante Thornton is just absolutely
that doesn't surprise
the biggest Raiders. Yeah, they think he's going to be like rookie of the year.
Let me know when he gets through about 3 games without his hamstring falling off.
I totally agree. But it's like I keep watching these plays. I'm like, geez, he is fast.
That doesn't surprise me. I mean, the guy. I mean, he run. What's he run? 4.3
Yeah,
he's 4.3 and like 6.4 Like he's kind of what you dream of in terms of like the physical profile of a receiver. Problem is, the guy can't stay healthy. So we'll see if he can do it in the NFL. But in college, he could not stay healthy.
If he stays healthy, then I think we can finally say the SEC is better than the NFL.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess so.
It's tougher.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, what a missed opportunity with him, though.
Did you know? See?
Because he made a few plays, yeah. And you're like, oh, man.
Well, I mean, he caught that, you know, that crossing pattern last year against Oklahoma, and it was just gone. And it's like, I mean, how do you keep up
do
with
more
this
of
kid?
That?
Yeah,
right.
Just go get it. Yeah, but, you know, did you see what caused the big firestorm with Vol Twitter yesterday? So there's this video that's out there of a one-on-one rep at wide receiver. DB goes up, makes a great play, and has an interception. Wide receiver's open by, like, I don't know, a yard or two. If he just lays the ball right over the top, it's an easy touchdown. DB makes the pick, and I can't remember which wide receiver it was right now, but you look back in the video, and Tennessee's media team has blurred out the quarterback. Like, it's just a big blur.
Come on.
Where the quarterback was. So people have no idea who threw the interception. It's just blurred out. And all of all Twitter's like,
no.
They couldn't show the quarterback. It's blurred out. What's going on over here? It's hilarious.
They
it's
redacted.
Just big blur. Yeah.
They redacted the quarterback from the video.
That is correct.
I mean, this is an outrage. We may have to deal with it. I'm texting somebody at Tennessee right now. It's you got to be kidding me.
It's just totally blurred out. It's very funny. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll have the Rob Rant coming up next. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, so Brian, you're kind of a jackass, huh?
What's a peer mean? It just means it's you dreamed about it and that means it's there or?
Brian. Is it symbolism that you're late?
Fart ye, I won't do what you tell me.
You still wear a watch?
Well, I spent $21,000 on the tickets.
$21,000? I thought you were $2,100.
Don't tell my wife.
Is your watch work all right or what, huh?
No, Archie, please don't do that.
It is that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant here on the program. You can check it out every morning, either the Rob Rant or the Rex Rant. Somebody got really mad at us the other day. He was like, my rant is the rant starts at 7:45, not 7:51.
Yeah.
Like, we're at 7:46 today. We're good.
I think that was from one of the people we're not supposed to talk to anymore.
Oh, okay.
You just gave them a platform.
No. I can't keep up. The list is growing of people.
I know.
So
I'm going to try to ban everyone. You're all banned!
If you text into the text line, there's a 63% chance that Rex Road won't allow me to read it.
Well, I got a huge list of numbers that we don't respond to.
That's right. So my rant today kind of stems from this. David Ubbin put together a really interesting piece at The Athletic, basically going into detail about college football players and how often they actually transfer. So what he did here is he took a look at the data, and it goes back to, you know, basically 2021, the class of 2021, which is when the freedom of movement that we see now with the transfer portal really began. It's a really fascinating piece here. And, you know, I said back when all the Nico stuff went down, you know, about him leaving and going to UCLA, you know, Tennessee has Faison Brandon coming in, which is, depending on where you look, the number one quarterback recruit in 2026. So they got a high-level quarterback coming in. But I said at the time, like, yeah, I'll get excited about these quarterbacks and these recruits like when they're on the field taking snaps from my team. Like, that's basically how I feel about it now. And I wondered, like, how often these guys transfer. And looking at this list that Ubbin has put together is just kind of mind-blowing when you look at it this way. So it's the class of 2021, and it goes through their careers, and they've done this by, you know, the top 50 prospects at each position. And just taking a look at how often they transfer. And, you know, they've got one-time transfers in here, and they've broken it up from that and multiple transfers as well. If you're looking at this, it's pretty amazing. And as Ubbin points out, the highest frequency position of transfers that have happened have been at quarterback, which is not overly surprising. There's not a ton of quarterbacks to choose from on a roster anyway, so that would probably be my guess. But when you look at it, it's pretty amazing. In class of 2021, which includes, you know, some of these people are in the NFL right now. Some of these people are still playing college football. There's a long list of the way that this has gone. 84% of quarterbacks that they've gone through in this study, the top 50, have transferred at least one time in their college football career. 84%. It's an unbelievable number. 36% of those have transferred multiple times. So have gone to at least three different spots in college. It's followed closely behind is wide receiver, which is at 82%. So quarterbacks and wide receivers have been highly, highly volatile in terms of their transfer part of this. The interesting part is you look at the offensive linemen, you know, offensive tackles are at 44% have transferred. Edge rushers only at 34%. Yeah. So at the line of scrimmage, you don't really see, or at least we haven't to this point with the data, seen people transferring all that much. But 84% of the quarterbacks in this situation, in this poll here, have transferred at least one time, which goes back basically to what I'm saying. It's pretty hard for me to get excited about high school recruiting anymore, because it's like, what are the chances really that the guys that you're recruiting are going to be at your school and play for your team all 4 years? This would suggest, especially when you go by position here, if it's a quarterback, the odds are very low that the quarterback is going to end up being at your school all 4 years,
yeah,
or all 3 years before they get drafted, whatever the case is.
Yeah. What'll be interesting as we keep moving forward is, like, you know, I still feel it's like if you do a great job of high school recruiting and you're going to retain X percentage on average, then okay, then that still, I think, means that you're going to have better teams. You then, of course, have to do good things of yourself in the portal. Like, everybody has, right, to do that. But or will that change? Or will it start to not necessarily line up with these top recruiting rankings teams, or generally year after year the top teams, period? You know, I don't know. I mean, those top teams are they have everything, right? I mean, they have everything. They have the money. They have the coaching. They have, like, the whole thing going, and so they continue to be at the top of the rankings. But yeah, I agree. Like, from a fan perspective, it's just every single recruit your team gets now, it's great. Like, I still see, yeah, Vols fans celebrating. They just got this kid from Utah, right?
Yeah. It's hard for me to care.
He's gonna, yeah. And yeah, then it's like Steve Wilfer. Oh, this guy's gonna be great. And it's like, yeah.
Is he ever gonna play snap?
Right.
I don't know. Like,
yeah.
You know, the odds are, you know, in Tennessee is the example we'll use, just because, you know, it's one that we've got here that is probably gonna be in a situation like this. Like, Tennessee at the moment, you got Merklinger on the roster, and I'm looking even beyond this year, but Merklinger, McIntyre, and you got Faison Brandon coming in. Well, I can pretty much tell you that two of those three guys probably by this list, this time 2 years from now, will not be here. Like, it's just, that's what the numbers tell you. Like, two of those three guys will probably not be here 2 years from now. So, like, what do you do with that as a fan? Like, to me, I've approached it this way. Like, high school recruiting is still fun. Like, and like, it's fun to look at the list and you're like, oh, cool. Like, Tennessee's ninth on 24/7 Sports, or Vanderbilt's gotten into the top 50 on 3. Like, that's cool. That's awesome. Like, Clark Lee's doing a good job. But in today's college football, like, as a fan, I look at it and I'm like, yeah, all that's fun. Let me know when those guys are playing, like, are actually contributing on the team.
Yeah, the one thing that has changed so much of college football is, like, the hugeness of signing day and what it all meant. It, just a few years ago, it was a national holiday. You had all the huge battles, you know, Auburn, Alabama, Tennessee, and Ohio State's after this safety or this, you know, and of course, you know, as anybody who follows the sport at all knows, that basically a lot of bidding wars happening at the very end, and basically who can get the best deal, because paying players is not a brand new thing. But that whole thing is just gone. Like, there's just and there's still now the early signing day, but it's, I think, year as we've gone, just the last years, I feel like it gets less and less pub it feels less and less important. So we do need to deal with the blur out, man.
Yeah,
At some point,
I'm glad I made you aware of this.
I'm glad you made me aware of it, too. Someone texted about the blur out. It's wild.
Tennessee football just blurring out quarterbacks out there on their official account. It's like, nothing to see here with the quarterbacks. We're just going to put a big blur on who threw an interception.
It was a Dementor, not one of our quarterbacks. He's trying to kill us all at practice. That is insanity.
It does do a pretty good job of leaving you guessing. It's like, all right, so who do I hope that quarterback was that underthrew the go ball by 3 yards? I don't know. Who's the walk-on? Mason Phillips. I hope it was him.
Yeah. Let's say it was him.
Yeah.
They redacted the quarterback. That's truly insane. Like, it's kind of like
– I've never seen a team do that, like, I don't think.
Is it unethical to do that?
I don't know.
Are we getting into like AI? I mean,
you know,
is AI
college.
Running their video?
So the college football teams and practices have all these weird rules anyway. But if you're gonna blur out the quarterback, then maybe just don't put the clip out there, right? Like just leave it alone.
And the thing is, it's like I feel like you would have had to really. I'm sure that's what happened, right? It's like some Vols fan was like, okay, I'm gonna slow this down so I can see who this is.
Yeah,
and then it's like, oh my god,
they blurred it out. Which I think also suggests that, like, the Tennessee football media team is well aware of how crazy this fan base is. And like, all right, the first thing we need to do is make sure that no one can identify this quarterback here, please.
Yeah. And so I understand the fan base. But, like, to me, I mean, this is extreme softness from a sports organization. This is like world-class level softness to blur out the quarterback who threw a pick and a drill.
Yeah, I agree.
Holy crap. Someone needs to ask Josh Heupel who the blurred out quarterback was.
Yeah,
Seriously.
Who's
going to ask
Sparks,
the question?
Get to the bottom of it.
I'm texting with Sparks right now.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Corey Curtis from News 2 will be with us coming up next. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.